Sorry, sir. Don't mind me. I'm just cutting through right now. Good day to you. Bang up a salute on the way past.
I'm awfully sorry for your severe wing damage. PSBS. Pro
League. The Lobby. Welcome to The Lobby with me, Danny G, Jonah and Owen. We're back, baby.
Finally.
Come on.
I mean,
about damn time.
Season two. How's it changed from where we were a year ago? Everything has changed, right?
Yeah, massively. I mean, season one was just the start for us. And if we look back to where we were 1 year ago, we had a Rocket League tournament. So 8 weeks of competition culminating in a massive grand finals. And this year we're going bigger and better. League of Legends and F125 in the circuit now. So really exciting stuff, Danny.
How do you choose these games, though? So what, there's three titles now in total, yeah. Right? How do you choose them?
I mean, the simplest thing is that they're all military-approved games, right? So League of Legends, military approved. F125, obviously military approved. And then obviously we're still already using Rocket League. So we're interested in two more. We don't want to up our workload too much, you know. We're already a three-man team. Hopefully to be four soon. But yeah, I mean, we've got our work out already, Danny. I mean, even last night I was tearing my hair out of the production. Yeah, it was a bit stressful when Owen and the fiance had me on the call. I was bringing me cups of tea, left, right and Charlie. So I was trying to give me
a... Do you need a cuddle? I can give you a cuddle. Do you need a cuddle?
No, it's okay.
It's only just started. Come on, high energy. You got this.
We're back.
Yeah, so three titles then, and F1 being one of them.
Yep.
You were mentioning earlier that it's not always like the eSIM rig that you know, you got everyone at BFBS to try out recently as a bit of a trial. You can play it other ways, can you?
Yeah, definitely. You don't need the expensive £20,000 motion simulator rigs.
Is
to get
that
involved.
What that was?
No, no. We've got something a little more dialed down.
I think
after
the
all, we are a charity, Danny.
We've had some questions if we've talked about the 20 grand rig.
But it's not like someone was stood behind you, sat on a chair, just like rattling and moving you as if you're on a roller
maybe
coaster.
Maybe next time. Maybe we just get someone.
It's a good idea,
actually. That's a cheap version. Someone there
you're
just waiting in the air.
But yeah, people are taking part on controllers. So just typical Xbox or PlayStation setups. F125 is a cross-platform game, so it's very, very easy for people to get involved. It doesn't matter what you're playing on, really. As long as you've got an internet connection and something, even some arrow keys on a keyboard will work. If that's your style.
Yeah, I'm really glad you said that, because one of the biggest things I learned from both of you last year when we were doing...
I
felt a little bit sort of, I've got inferior is a strong word, but it's only because I've always been an Xbox gal, and everybody, like, now it's all about PC gaming, but the money that's in it, I can't just
you
go
can,
out and buy
you
myself
can plug
like,
your keyboard and mouse into your Xbox.
Okay, I did not even know that.
Yeah, it's
true.
Yeah.
So, but you say that basically anyone can play as long as you got those arrow keys.
If you want to, if you're looking at getting a PC, right, but you've only got an Xbox or a PlayStation, and you want to get used to keyboard and mouse, just plug in your keyboard and mouse into your PlayStation or your Xbox, right? And then you can get used to playing on keyboard and mouse. And also, it is more superior in my head.
Apart from driving games, that is the one type of game. Where
and Call of Duty, maybe. A lot of Call of Duty pros will argue against me on
all
that.
All right. There'll be time to hash this out. But look, season two of the BFBS Pro League. Who can play? Who is this aimed at? And how, you know, sign-ups? Can we talk sign-ups so far?
Oh, we've had a good reception. I mean, as a recording, Owen, rough stat.
Yeah, so roughly, I think, 1,270 people on the platform now.
Lovely.
In terms of our competition sign-ups as well for F1, we've got far more than a full grid's worth of participants already. So 26 sign-ups for F1. So we pretty much had a full grid yesterday.
Discord's filling up as well. 721 people on Discord. When we hit 1,000 people, we've got a £500 giveaway, which is really exciting. But also loads of people verifying, which is great. But the verification and eligibility has changed from last year, Danny.
Oh, go on. How's it changed?
So we have reduced the term of service family down to direct family. So that is if you've got a sister, a brother.
No second cousin twice removed.
No second cousin twice removed. No goldfish of the grandparent. But yeah, we've got. So it's if your sister, your brother, your mum, your dad, one of your own kids is involved, then you can get involved. We're also including step parents in that because I know a lot of people consider obviously their step parents as their main parental figure, which is lovely. So yes, we are including step mothers, fathers, so on and so forth.
Mothers and fathers.
Mothers, mama and papa.
Mama and papa. Just a quick one then, because obviously our first split is underway. It started.
Yes.
How do people register if they want to get involved in any of the titles that are coming up? And, you know, is it easy to do? Are you closing it? You know, what's happening?
It is so straightforward. So BFBS esports.com. That is the place you want to go if you want to sign up. There is a very, very simple sign-up process. We just need to make sure that you're eligible, and that will be a process done through Discord. So make sure you join the BFBS Esports Discord as well. As long as you have those two things, you are good to go.
Yeah, and it directs you as well to verify once you sign up. So we've made it as simple as possible to make it so more people get involved. That's basically it.
I'm sure it's really self-explanatory, like you say, when you start having a look on the internet or on Discord or anything. But like, when's your cutoff before the games and everything, before you actually start the tournament?
Yeah, so sign-up deadlines end just 24 hours before each individual race. So even though we're already past week one of the calendar, it's not a stuck sort of one-and-done grid for the entire season. You can actually just hop in and play whenever you want to. So
flexible.
If you only want to get involved in week 8, you can just jump in and give it a go.
Who knows, you might come P1, get those 25 points, and then find yourself in the top 8 overall.
Well, look, it started. Should we check out the highlights?
Yes,
please.
Okay, power down. Bit of a wobble by AGL, though. It was kept clean, managed to get there, but the overspeed here from KS Prior from that previous goes round the outside, heading into Brooklands. It's going to be a dodgy one again. That wing damage just costing them. It's so painful for him right now.
It really is. An ultimate lap of racing is starting to call its flag as Phantom Ricardo picks up a 3-second penalty as well for multiple track limit violations. We watch up at the front here. It's going to be a bit of a mistake from one of the back markers. Contact between themselves and Edward G. Fleming. And this could be the escape that Proven might need as they run down the old pit straight wide for Fleming at the exit of Woodcote Corner in towards Cops. And surely this is going to be a question of who managed their tyres better in the opening stages of this race. Then one mistake can ruin a race. I don't think Edward G. Fleming wants to try and, well, categorise a mistake P2 for what could be a later result down the line. More yellow flags now in the second sector as the car's gone a little bit spinning.
It's
and that's
Fleming.
Oh, it's Edwards. Oh, round at Cops Corner. I think he's got a puncture. Rear left's gone.
Well, it has begun.
Oh yeah, I think that's taking it lightly.
Yeah, you've got months and months, months, months left of this. You can't be exhausted yet. Are you still buzzing from this?
I mean, that was one of the best streams I think we've had, period. I think it was awesome. I had such a good time even producing it. I was sat there pushing the buttons and even my eyes were just glued to the screen. And oh, it was so good.
It's the adrenaline. Because as much as you really want it to go well and you got the pressure to perform and have the stream be perfect, there's also just all the drama going on all at the same time.
Oh,
it hits you like a truck.
Drama, what's the juice? Right. What's the juice?
Oh, before we get into it.
It's too much.
Right, just for comparison, if anyone has not seen the stream, we came out of the actual Miami F1 race this weekend, right? And I thought that's got to be one of the best races we've seen in the last two seasons of F1. And I thought, oh, well, our stream's not going to be as good as that. But I've got to say, I think it topped it. It was so good. But Owen, the source, please.
Right, so where do we get started?
At the beginning.
Yeah.
The most outrageous. Go.
No, we've got to start. The most outrageous did happen at the start.
It did.
Lights out and away we go, Owen. What happened?
Lights out and away we go, and unfortunately a car's cut across another, locked the front tyres, and they're all three in the barrier. So that's P2 to, well, P3 to P5, just immediately off into the wall, full damage on their cars, and straight into the pits. Off they go.
Okay, craziness. That is very dramatic.
Poor Stevie Mac. That's all I'm going to say.
Name and shame.
Went from P3 to... No, it's not name and shame. It's not his fault. He got wiped out. He went, what was he? P3 went down to, what, P8?
Yeah, well, P14. He was second to last.
Straight into the pits.
Coming
when you
off
say
the back
P,
of that
is that
incident.
Place?
Place, yeah, yeah.
Yes. Oh, you think you're so cool.
Oh, yeah, I love you.
Yes, guys. P14, go.
We know our stuff.
So wait, when obviously people are wanting to get to number one, top three, I'm guessing, how does the results system work in the BFBS Pro League? You know, like, as a newbie, explain to me if you've got...
Should we go through the sort of the format?
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, like, how many people were at any one time having a go?
So on track, there's 20 cars.
Right.
So two spectators, myself and Jonah, or any other observers, and then there's 20 cars out on track for both the qualifying and the race sessions. Basically, the way our format works is if we have over 20 drivers, we pool them all together in different qualifying sessions, and then we end up taking them into the race in balanced sort of grids. So we make sure that all the grids are as balanced as they can be, so we don't have anyone just dominating the competition.
Right.
And so, yeah, qualifying is an 18-minute session, goes into a race, which is 50% length of a standard F1 race. So, yeah, really cool.
So, obviously, it comes down to your time, and that's where you end up on the leaderboard in terms of
the
place.
So, you get unlimited laps on qualifying.
Mm-hmm.
The fastest lap, obviously, placed first, then second, third, fourth, all the way down to, well, we had 15th.
Yeah.
And what happens then, though? So you only make it into the top 15 and move on to the next bit? Is that how this works?
No. So there's no, there's no sort of, if you don't place in top 15, then you're not racing. It's you're just in that order. Mm. That way, the fastest people are at the front of the pack to give them the most advantage to get ahead. But obviously, as we said with Stevie, he placed third, set a really good lap time in his lovely orange F1 car. Very well branded, I must say, for the Scotsman, by the way. but he, so P3, then got wiped out and dropped all the way to P14, right? Meaning he had to crawl all the way back up the grid to try and get as many places as he can to get as many points as he can. And he ended up, P8?
Yeah, he actually finished in the point scoring position. So it was P10 for Stevie Mac in the end.
Unreal.
But he did manage to claw back the points. And we haven't even touched the surface with Stevie Mac because the poor guy actually had a massive internet outage in the middle of his race. I mean, it happens, right? It happens under the conditions that people have to play under. And so an AI takes over your vehicle for that period of time. But it's a lot slower on track, so it doesn't give you an advantage. So he rejoined the race lobby and then he was like, well, I'm in 11th again. Then had to claw his way back up again. And eventually he got back up the pack. Because he had 10.
So the advice is super fast fibre broadband, right?
Yeah. That's the way to go.
Well, when you're in the block or, in family or SLA, then it's a bit,
it's
a bit of a struggle. But nonetheless, before he disconnected, he had a delta. So the delta's the gap in between you and the person in front. About 0.3. 0.3 of a second, so 0.03 of a second behind the person in front of him. Then he disconnected, and by the time two people had overtaken him, and he was about 8 seconds behind the guy that he was originally 0.3.
See, I actually love that, because watching actual typical F1, the real life version, there's none of that.
Yeah.
Unless AI actually becomes a thing and starts being the drivers. Insane. Yeah. Hang on, but that was just one piece of juice?
That's
just
one piece.
Oh, well, come on. Hit us with it. Bullet point.
I can give you some more. Absolutely. So, Runes versus Chewy was a crazy battle we saw on track. It was the battle for fourth, and our Silverstone track conditions were a bit British. It was quite soggy out on track. The poor cars were doing pirouettes on the first lap. Without the rain. So then you imagine about 10 laps in, when it's just hammering it down, these guys are going everywhere. But it was such a good battle, and we had all the coverage. Brilliant sort of camera work from Joni yourself and Jack Lemon MD, who was our observer for the day.
He is an MD.
Absolutely brilliant observer, and caught all the action and so many tiny bits of contact, so many going wide at corners, trying to get a little bit more speed into the entrance, and craziness.
One of our casters actually described it as the Earl Grey of Formula One.
Oh no, that's quite good. I like that. Yeah.
I said it's more of a Yorkshire tea vibe because it's obviously the best cup of tea.
PG tips all the way.
Are you serious?
Uh-huh.
Right, it's a conversation for another day.
We will hash that one out. Guys, what was the feedback that you've had then after night one of this actually taking place? What was the feedback you had from people that took part?
Yeah, so we had lots and lots of positive reception, especially from some of the drivers who have never done this sort of thing before. And funnily enough, we had so many newcomers who really had no experience with this sort of thing before. So Dewey, Runes, Lenny Al-444, Guy Afarge, all four of those drivers who took part yesterday, it was basically their first time. One of them was on a controller, one started up while they were injured, one decided to try and start sim racing so that he could beat his mate at karting, and the other one just wanted to give it a go. And all four of them came out of that race thinking, you know what, that was cracking. And I saw some really positive comments on our Discord just saying, you know what, that was a great race. So we're really happy.
One thing you didn't mention, Owen, is the rank range we had in that lobby as well. We had everything from private to colonel
in that lobby,
which is insane.
Yeah, can these guys talk to each other through the headsets
stuff?
No, I am so glad. I'm so glad for their careers.
I think there's a sort of a generic rule within military sport that there's no real rank in military sport. Obviously, you have the respect, but there's no yes, sir. No, sir.
No, could you imagine, you go past and go, oh, sorry, sir.
Sorry, sir. Don't mind me. I'm just cutting through right now. Good day to you. Bang up a salute on the way past.
I'm awfully sorry for your severe wing damage. Yeah.
Could you imagine? Oh, no, because
Please don't write that on my S jar.
No, don't. I'm literally thinking back to last year, though, obviously, when we had the live grand final. And, you know, you can hear the guys and girls like shouting and screaming, and they are chatting to each other. So I was just wondering, obviously, if you do have the headsets, you should bring that in, please.
Oh, proximity chat. Oh, that would be amazing.
Can you imagine just like coming through and just send it down the inside? What could possibly go wrong? Well, I'm all for that.
Look, when it comes to feedback, I'm glad that you guys had some good feedback, but there is only one person who can actually really give you the feedback.
It is.
And I'm pretty sure it's the boss man.
The boss.
You don't have to sweat. You don't have to look worried or anything. Should we bring him in?
Yeah.
I think we should.
Bring in the boss.
Let's get him in.
Robert Wiley, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello.
Hello, everybody.
Season two, we're back. Welcome to the lobby. Can you pretty please tell us who you are?
Hello. So I'm Robert. I'm the head of esports here at BFBS. The guy who came in a couple of years back to kind of build the vision with my boss, Adam Waters, and since expanded this amazing team.
You must be so proud, though. I mean, even I'm beaming and I wasn't there. Yeah, no, I wasn't even there yesterday. And I'm like, look at this team that you've got here and what you're building. Season two. And like, it's growing fast.
Yes, it's massive. Honestly, I think... just to see where we started, what the vision was, and now we're here. Like, it's all coming to life, right? And I think we had a really good moment last year at the September finale. We all looked at each other and said, look, we've done it. We made it a thing. But everybody was also shooting each other, look, going, right, how do we make this bigger? What do we do for next year? How do we really drive this all the way home? And I think, you know, during those last kind of couple of months of last year, we sat down, we really cooked up something special. We came in with an idea of, let's expand to one game. And then we made a decision to add another one in there as well. We really wanted to make sure we're hitting all angles of this community. And it's been flawless, honestly. Like, it really has. The whole team, not just the esports team, but the whole team at BFBS to launch this thing and do it in the way we've done it, incredible.
And look, I know that obviously as a group, we all know each other pretty well. But can we go back to basics with you about your gaming history? I mean, how on earth do you go from, you know, being a gamer to being employed by a military radio station to go, can we just create this tournament for the military? How'd you feel about that? How'd you feel?
It's a crazy journey, honestly.
Like, did you think it was a hoax? Like, you thought it was like, wait, excuse me?
Yeah. So sometimes, like... At first, I was like, nah, this is nothing. Like, the military doing esports, no shot. And then looked into it more, obviously had a chat with Adam Waters, and things just made sense. Like, off the bat, it just made total sense. The vision of what BFBS wanted to do, it struck a chord with me. And, look, for the last 18 years, I've been in esports, and it's not been full of the amazing highs that you would expect, right? There's a lot of ups and downs with esports. It is a sort of evolving industry. And when I got into esports all them time ago, like, this was not a thing. Like, esports was not an established thing. People couldn't even agree on how to spell esports, you know? It just wasn't a thing. Some people wanted the capital S, some people didn't. Some people wanted the dash in there. Yeah. Nobody could decide.
What
right?
is the answer, by the way? Let's just iron that out right now.
Oh, you see,
now I'm testing you.
Just straight up esports. No capitals in the middle, nothing.
Nothing in the middle. Just capital E, if you want to be, if you haven't started a sentence, but it's esports. Esports.
Just go caps all day, every day.
Just full caps. All caps, yeah. Caps lock on permanently.
Yeah. So, I got in esports 18 years ago. It was a ragtag industry of a bunch of people basically building out of bedrooms. Like, that's literally it. And from there, you know, what really sparked it within me was the competitive drive, right? So, way long time ago, I used to be a rugby player. And I picked up a pretty bad injury, and it sidelined me for about 8 months. And I tried to go back, and it just didn't work out for me. I went back, got injured straight away, and I had a choice to make. Do I keep doing this to myself, or do I try and find a different outlet for it? And at the time, esports was that. So I jumped in head first and started playing competitively. At the time, I was playing a game called World of Warcraft.
Some could say you were all right at it.
I was all right. Yeah, I was all right. I managed to get there in the end. So
that's not the way to get a raise. I'm just saying.
No, but tell everyone how well you actually did, because I think you don't sugarcoat it enough.
So basically, I managed to get to number one in the world. At the time, there was 40 million players playing. This wasn't a solo team. 40 million players at the time was playing World of Warcraft, yeah. So I was part of a guild called Insidia. And what we did was we chased world firsts. Like, we wanted to be the first people in the world to kill a certain boss. And what that meant was, in the way it was set up, is raids would get released, and you would get sometimes 10 bosses or 11 bosses. And it's basically go in there completely blind, and see if you can kill the boss and compete against everybody else. So we were basically one of the best guilds in the world, and through my time when I played with them, I managed to get a couple of world firsts. So even to this day, I can still say, you know, I was the first one to kill that boss in the world. So it hangs tight for me. Then after World of Warcraft, I tried to switch into StarCraft 2, and that didn't go that well for me. So the Koreans were actually the best in the world at StarCraft 2, and they just battered me. And from there, I realized, I was like, hey, maybe this isn't for me. Maybe there's something else I can do with an esports that makes sense. And I had a lot of passion for social media and content. And at the time, this probably ages me a little bit, but at the time, social media wasn't even a thing back then either. You know, like, it was barely just released from colleges over in America with Facebook. So everything was still kind of, you know, building up and coming from there. So I joined a company called Fnatic, and that was like the dream team for me. Like, I used to skip school back in the day and watch Fnatic play Counter-Strike tournaments in random countries around the world. And it was like the whole kind of coming home moment for me was getting a chance to go and work for them then. And that started off a mad 8 years for me, where I worked for them and went from being an introduction journalist to head of social media and content, and traveling the world to showcase to people what esports is really about. And by then, we went from bedrooms to selling out arenas. So it really, over that 10-year period, became something that I guess we all dreamed it, but none of us really knew it was going to be possible, and then it was.
So what do you say then? 10 years, and then you were selling out arenas. Got that?
Yeah, no pressure.
Yeah?
No pressure.
We're second year in, I'm just saying.
We've got a long while to go. It's all right.
Well, we've got an arena coming up in September, so...
Yeah,
you know,
I guess technically you could say hopefully we'll sell out that arena.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Look, so when you talk about like the guild that you were a part of, the group, the community, how did you find your community after your injury? If you don't mind me asking.
So like it was just a chance of playing, right? So like back in the day, the main comms tool that everybody used was a thing called MIRC.
So
this is like pre-Discord. This is really, really old times. And from there, it was just a chance. So like a lot of my early playing days, I didn't even play with English people. I played a lot with Swedish people playing Counter-Strike back in the day.
How is your Swedish?
It's very bad, very bad. I only know some words that I cannot say on this podcast. But that was the way we communicated. We just communicated with like in-game specific words and swear words. That was how things were done.
Just a disclaimer, by the way, when he talks about killing bosses, not employers.
No, it's the game.
Characters in games, for anyone who's wondering. All right.
Yes, no bosses in real life have been harmed.
In the making of this.
Yes.
How's it been, though, coming to, you know, when the community's basically already set for you, and by that, obviously, I just mean specifically, I know that obviously we're talking military families as well, and, like, you know, MOD, civil servants, things like that, but the community's already there, so you're not having to necessarily build that, you build it within. Is that different?
I'll challenge that.
Kind of. What I'd say is, I'd say the community sort of, especially with esports, right, is full of people who want to challenge themselves, right? So they're always seeking out, who are the better people with me? Who can I go and beat, right? Who can I challenge myself with? So what tends to happen is the community forms around the game, but it forms around what is everybody building up to. So for example, with us, we're trying to give people the bragging rights to say you are the best within a military community. And as soon as we put that out there and said we're looking to find who the best is, all the best players will find their way to us, right? That's kind of how it works, is people want to prove themselves on the highest level, and we're setting the bar, so they're going to come to our tournament and they're going to try and represent themselves.
We're also a pathway, right? We're a pathway into those wider leagues. Obviously, globally, military esports is taking off, and things International Defense Esports Games, are happening in September. We can be that pathway for people to select British teams, right, to participate in those events. So almost like the Premier...
Like you're a platform. Then,
yeah, we're
right?
a platform, yeah. right? So as football has various different leagues to get up to the next stage, we're just one of those stepping rungs in the ladder. That's what I was trying to get out. Words. And yeah, we really just want to support the military community and also help them organically grow as well. I think there's a lot of stigma around people sort of begging for views and sort of trying to draw
being
an audience, paying,
like,
being the influencer, paying for views and things like that. But we don't like that. What we want to do is have real value in the people. We would like lower numbers, but more engagement from our community than the, you know, numbers are literally just a statistic, is the amount of people in your community, right? But really, it's the impact on those people that you're making. So, yeah.
And look, you guys talking about community, obviously, with how important it is. How did you end up at Lords with cricket and stuff recently? What?
I still
what?
Ask myself so, that.
Basically, like, one of the conversations I've been having a lot with guys like Simon Hunter is, what are the parallels
from esports?
Sports. Yeah, yeah. What are the parallels between esports and sports, right? And I think one of the great opportunities we have at BFBS is we are in all sorts of random places around the world at all sorts of times, right? So when we heard that, you know, the Armed Forces T20 cricket was going to be at Lords, they had an engagement village there, we thought, hey, let's go down and see if we can get people interested in esports. And what happened was an absolute takeover.
It just kaboom.
Yes, we had a line of people watching us set up because they knew that they wanted to be first in line. They wanted to go straight away. So we were giving people slots. We said, like, 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there. The line was getting ridiculous. So we were really trying to, you know, put a bit of speed on this to get it going. As soon as we opened up the booth, it
flooded.
It was open to close, it was constant.
How does that feel for you guys, though? Second year in, how does that feel when you go to something like cricket and just it explodes, everybody's interested? How does that feel?
Well, it feels great. Like, I think it's proof, right? It's proof that not only is this the next big thing, but there's an appetite there for it, right? And I think more so than anything, it shows kind of PFBS and the evolution that we're making. We're always trying to be ahead of the curve. We're trying to get in there and support people. And look, to be honest with you, as soon as people come in and they talk to us, it's like we've been friends with them for years. Like, it really is that type of environment where a lot of people trust BFBS, they know what we do, and they love to see us expand and go on. And some of the conversation I was having with people, young, old, didn't matter. Everybody was super interested. What is this? What is esports? And there was not a single bit of judgment there at all. No. It was very much like, that's amazing. How do we get involved? Like, that's literally how it went the whole day.
Something we had, and we didn't manage to quite activate it just at the time, but and also I didn't realise there's a massive online VR cricket community.
Is there?
Mental.
A little bit like the Wii control, where you've got to have it in, like,
you're playing full on cricket from your living room. How mental is that?
Yeah, that's crazy.
And also we were speaking to people from ages of like 11 up to literally grandparents of kids that could potentially get involved in our league. We had some of our trustees come by. Really great for them to be able to see what we were doing as well. It was just an awesome experience. And I think the thing we really realised was that we need more kit.
Yes. Yeah, we probably need a second one, to be honest here. It was ridiculous. Like I said, genuinely, the line was absurd. You know, like, I think one, it just shows as well that people just want to give this a go. And I think the other thing as well, and we noticed this in Chalfont when everybody had a try on our rig, was they step off it and they're like, that was amazing. Like, really, yeah.
Want to go again?
Yeah, exactly.
Pick me. Like,
it's one of those hard to put down things. And we've saw that a bit with the Pro League as well. Like, people come in, they try it, and they're like, I'm not leaving. Like, this is too fun.
I think SimRig sales went up tenfold after our visit. Yeah.
Yeah, we need a code or something. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Back.
Like an affiliate code or something.
Well, I feel really bad because our producers actually gave me a really nice way to talk about you becoming a dad. Something about out for a duck at Lords. Is duck a cricket term? Is that right?
No, we weren't dodging balls, but where we were dodging were the ducks on the M40.
Yeah. No, but duck is a cricket term.
Is it?
I don't know my cricket.
I've heard it.
It is, right?
I was always around
totally
this guy.
Is.
Never
I'm
got
sure
involved with cricket.
I'm not a cricket guy, but I'm
but
confident
it is. But you
became a
dad, didn't you?
I did. I became the dad to four lovely children.
They were a bit funny, right?
I adopted them, yeah. So long and short of it is, the M40 is no place for four little ducklings. So we're driving back from Lords back to our HQ in Chalfont. And
how did you spot four little ducklings?
So I didn't. So first of all, there was two people on the bridge over the top, right? They were looking down at the road and I was like, that's a bit weird. And there's a load of congestion. And anyway, as we pulled up to the front of this congestion, there was a little chirp. And I was like, there's no way this is real.
You're looking at Owen going, was that you?
Yeah. We looked at each other and went, nah, this isn't real. Anyway, so I looked, literally just sort of tucked my head over the bonnet, and I just saw these four little ducklings running across the main road. Anyway, I was like, I haven't got the guts to run these lot over, obviously.
So I got
out the van and I managed to stop all the traffic on the M40, had two little ducklings in each hand, launched them at Owen, and then we sped off. It looked like some, like, carjacking of a...
You could turn this into your own video game.
Yeah.
Everyone was already at a standstill because they just didn't... They couldn't bring themselves to try and weave around them and then potentially squish something that adorable.
Yeah.
So what did you do with them?
So what we did is...
Wait, hang on. There's only three of you. Found, who's got the fourth?
We found the next available point to actually just turn off and park somewhere, first of all.
And you let them out again.
The ducks were loud and they
not
were very that. Confused. And
not
they,
just they that, were... I mean, though. You've got to talk about them going behind the trim in the van.
Oh, God. No. Oh, yeah.
We had to hire a van.
They're
I'm really
difficult.
Sorry, Enterprise, if you're listening to this. But we had to, let's just say, remove a little bits of the trim because a duck managed to get underneath the seats.
Oh,
so,
no.
Yeah, we've managed to get a box. RIP the box for
yeah the PC box is yeah. is
Rob,
is
did
now
you know
a duck
they did
box.
That to a higher
so, so as the boss right, I left these two guys at Lord's and I said, hey, enjoy the drive home, well done today. And I get home, I think I got in the door about like 10 o'clock or something like that, and I got a phone call from one of them, and it was hey no, it was a bit earlier, and it was hey, we saved some ducks, and I was
get
like, hold
here.
On a second, I need to know more, like what's going on. So I heard the whole story and I was like, well, you know, like, hey, I hired the right two guys for the job, right? Because look what they did. But some of the situation we find ourselves in is yeah. ridiculous.
So, saviours over here. Right, what did happen? Did you just let them loose? I need to know. I need the end of the story.
Yeah, we let
so,
them back on the M25.
Yeah, no. We didn't just pick them up and then throw them back on the roads. Or, you know, drop them off at the nearest patch of green. Because these poor little ducks had lost their parents, and that was quite evident.
Okay, this is getting dark.
By yeah. the road. Anyway.
Duck pate on the M40.
Oh, my God.
What ended up happening is we had a wonderful work colleague in Tom Hattam, who is a video
Tom,
producer,
love him.
Absolutely wonderful guy, happens to raise ducks and chickens.
No, get
absolutely
out of
absolutely incredible stuff. And he happens to live just by where we had just picked up those ducks. So we said, Tom, we've got four ducks, what do we do? And he said, I'm coming round, I've got food, and I've got a heat lamp back at home to take care of them. So
we
then
need
he...
him on this podcast to have like
oh,
a chicken, a duck update.
We do.
The duck
we
date.
Have videos.
We, duck
we have videos yeah. of those ducks doing well.
I don't know if we'll be able to put them up on screen.
Yeah, yeah, but... no, that might be difficult. Yeah. But
I don't even know what this podcast is about anymore, but no I'm idea. Loving the story. What? Good for you, though. Did you feel good after that? You'd had a very long day at cricket for esports, and then you saved some duckies.
It was a bit of an adrenaline kick, I think, because we're all tired. Because, you know, some of that kit's really heavy, and you got to load the van, you got to take it back, and all the laborious stuff after you've done the really exciting stuff.
Mm.
And then there's just ducks. Mm. And then life is an amazing thing.
The ducks were returned safely to Tom Hattam under a heat lamp, and now they're actually at a wildlife centre. Growing up, hopefully to be released soon. So, and we did find out they are mallards. Yeah. So very happy ending.
Just melts your heart, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It does, yeah.
Yeah. We're very happy.
I'm so sorry that we completely veered off topic massively, but that was a great story. You've set a precedent now. This is episode one, okay? We need a story like this every episode. Just
what will
so.
We save next?
Yeah, what are we saving next?
It's a feature, I'm
there's
feeling
a,
it.
There's a goat on the motorway.
Wanted to talk to you all about the kind of, we've already spoken about feedback, but the kind of questions that you're getting, especially, I suppose, on the social media presence, because we've got BFBS Esports on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I'm saying this with the straightest face ever, but I just need to say, Jonah.
Thank you very much.
Your comments back to the fans and foes on certain comment, on certain pages
posts.
Are just incredible. Like, take my hat off to anybody who dare want to have a look at these comments and challenge you.
Yeah. Well, I think we had a little conversation on Discord, didn't we, Robert?
Yeah. So, like, again, as the boss, I need to comment and set some goalposts here for how he's about to attempt to respond to some of these people. But, you know, in the end of it, like, we believe firmly that we want to have a bit of fun with it, right? So if people are going to come in and they're going to say some very hurtful things... We're gonna have some fun back. So Jonah's got a long leash to go and have a bit of fun.
Good.
One thing I will say is, and as I put on the post, shout out
to... Oh, was that sound from your phone then, by the way?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, sorry,
sorry.
I thought it was you guys.
No.
Sorry. mute.
No, sorry, it was trying to get the comments up, mate.
Yeah, come on, hit me with it,
right,
because these
so
are so funny.
As I said, shout out to all the dinosaurs for boosting our posts and interactions, because it did make the post go a little bit more viral
what
than it
did. What do
you
mean by dinosaurs, Jonah?
I'll leave that to your own interpretation. Anyway, so some of the comments we had. Biff Chip PT, I said speaking from experience, or...
Biff Chip, what?
Biff Chip PT. You know when you get on the Biff?
Oh, yeah, but you're going to have to explain that one, because that went straight over
so
my
head. So the Biff is, well, obviously, when you're injured in the military, you get a Biff Chip.
It's
basically saying that it's only for people that are injured and unphysically fit.
I only ever use chit sheets, so I don't know.
some guys saying veterans are seeing this and being sick. Once our military battled the enemy head on, now they play video games. This guy, by the way, did a bit of a profile interrogation. He's a UFC fighter. So I came back with managing to keep my hour food down just fine, thanks. Maybe try not to be a dinosaur and try to evolve. I know you have small arms, but they will grow, I promise.
Yes, I really did like that one. But look, do you think this is a generational thing when it comes to... I mean, also, people do this because keyboard warriors, right? They, you know, and it's something brand new. Do you find that... because I think this has always been the way. Something brand new, especially within the military. Everybody wants to say something about it, especially... And I won't just pick on the generations, because it's not always the older generations. Mostly, like you say, dinosaurs. Yeah. But what do you think it is? What's the stigma? Because esports has changed. Why are people just hearing esports and going, oh, you know, the young lad is using a Lucozade bottle in his bedroom? Know what I mean?
I think it's just people without that perspective or sort of familiarity with what esports and gaming can be. And, you know, there's lots of stuff floating around media generally just saying how unhealthy it is and how socially isolating and all of these sort of terrible, scary things. But the reality is it can be a really, really great way for people to spend their time, and especially in a social capacity. And I think it's super important for mental health of young people to stay connected when they play. Esports is a brilliant way to do that. And so, yeah, I feel like people just need to give it a go and experience what it can be for themselves. And just for some more perspective, the F125 grid we had yesterday, I think a massive heap of those races were actually between the ages of 30 and 60.
Nice.
That was half the grid. You know, exactly. There were actually less 20-year-olds than there were people over 30. And I like, think that is how...
Yeah, exactly. I don't think any of us are arguing and saying, oh, yeah, esports is exactly the same as football, you know, in terms of sort of what... you get physically out
well,
of it.
Well, we've talked about the mental fitness that does actually come with being prepared for a tournament like this.
But it's mentally exhausting, all right? You got to think about strategy, you got to think about communication, your teamwork, blah, 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 blah. Obviously, all those things do come into football, but it's a completely different game. For example, Rainbow Six Siege is essentially chess with guns, right? And if you're counting chess as a military sport, then why aren't you, something's got an added feature onto that. How, why aren't you counting that as a sport? But again, no one in the military is arguing and saying, oh, you know, we want to be unfit, we just want to sit and play video games. Actually, look at all the pro teams. All of them have personal trainers. All of them have nutritionists to make sure that they're top of their game. And they're spending probably equally as much time in the gym as they are in front of the screens. So they do play hand in hand.
And also, I know I'm not a pro here or anything, but there is so much skill involved. There is. Look, now, I told you I'm going to mention it again. I'm going to see how many times I can say it across the next couple of months. Overcooked. I like to think of myself as a little bit of a pro, but I've tried Rocket League and I suck. I just can't. I can move the ball from one end to the other, but all the... No.
I think as a department, we've got different skills, right? Like, Owen's the sim race... Well, I say Robert's a little bit sim racing as well. But obviously, the Rocket League goat himself is in the room with us. I'm more of an FPS type of guy, so first-person shooter. And Robert's a bit more of a top-down, strategic style, you know, type of gamer. And yeah, I think they all play some hand-in-hand. We all have different skills, you know, and we all like to compete against each other a little bit. But that makes it all for fun, right?
So it's healthy.
Yeah, and you can be the overcooked person.
Thank you. That is me. Any more like sort of comments for us? You don't even have to tell us the dinosaur ones. It's more your comments that are hilarious. It was the one about the virgin for me that just got me.
I said someone quite young actually said, "Do you have to be a virgin to compete?" I said, "Don't worry, mate. Of course not. But even if that was a requirement, at least you'd still be able to compete."
Thank you. This makes for really good light reading when you can't sleep, by the way.
Like, a lot of people are saying, scroll. Like, grown men, by the way, said, nice to see you have some eyes.
I can't.
One of our very own Deromus actually commented on it and said, loving how all the hate comments are coming from fresh or hidden accounts. I said, 6 tours of their bedroom as a keyboard warrior.
That's very good.
Is anybody coming back to you after you respond
to them?
Do
you know what? Actually, a few of them have said, so one guy just said, they're all RLC. So I just said, cheers, dits. And then he just put a laughing emoji. So the response has been
it's pretty good to the
banter back.
Right?
And a lot of people praising the banter back. Which we'd put, a cheeky poll just to see what the community would prefer us to do, either hide the comments or, you know, clap back to them.
Oh, you've done that?
Yeah, I put a poll out.
I like that.
And 98% of people said they'd like to see us clap back.
Yes!
So, yeah.
I think it's important. I think, like, look, gaming culture has always been built on this, like, trash-talking environment, right? Mm. And I think if you're going to come into the space, you have to be able to take it, but you have to be able to give it back.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what I'm looking forward to the most, is like, yeah, totally fine. If you've got a perception on esports, you don't understand it, or you just want to come in and make a joke, great. But Jonah's going to be ready for you. And if you can't take what Jonah's coming back with, then I'm sorry, but You know, it is what
it is. We haven't even opened these up to the floor yet. You wait till we open up these up to a board of people with good comebacks. Like,
yeah. Some exciting gaming news as well. Yes. I mean, I've got to be honest. I mean, we were all gutted, weren't we, last year? GTA 6 with the delay.
No, fuming.
Yeah.
And we've heard that it could potentially be delayed again.
No.
Yeah, I know. I don't trust it.
I don't trust it.
The thing is, right, there's no big marketing campaign and we're, 6 months away from the alleged launch. Mm. I don't think it's happening. I think it's going to be delayed again. And it's probably for the best, right? I mean, we want that game to be really good.
The polished product, yeah.
You know, and it's not quite an esports title, but this is what's fun about games like GTA. There is an esports component to it. Mm. You can race in the game. You can have a bit of competitive fun. So, but I think, you know, it's one of these games that is going to take over the world.
Absolutely.
For a period of time, it just does.
Yeah, they always do, but they're always way too expensive. So I'm always like, I'd never jump on
this one's over 100 quid.
What?
I've also seen an article saying that the CEO of Rockstar has said that people will be paying what it's worth. So whether that means that it's going to be, you know, a reasonable cost, you know, what we're seeing games come out now at 70 quid a pop, right? And for how long the game's taken to develop and things like that, I'm not sure it's going to be under 100 quid.
You should go to game and like get on a Friday and get 3 games for 20 quid. Like, yeah, what?
Gone are those days.
That's ridiculous.
Well, it's the maddest one, right? Like, we suffer this problem all the time. So many years ago, we would just put a disc in and you would play and it'd be good to go. Nowadays, you've got to do updates, you've got this and that. Like, we unfortunately, thank God for Lords having amazing Wi-Fi, we had got an update on the game as we set up for the event.
Mate.
So,
but, you don't want to be waiting 24
like
hours
that
for that happening.
Can
yeah.
really get to you. But it's one of them. Is gaming's taking its new kind of venture. I just can't wait for GTA.
But to reinforce the worth, right, we did have a little cheeky conversation with one of the developers at an event a few months
really?
Back.
Was this the one that you two went to?
Yeah, we went to...
DreamHack?
No, it was one at Education in Esports
conference. Of course.
We spoke to one of the old developers. Obviously, he can't say much, but he did say, he said it'll be worth every penny. He said it is it's a fantastic game. And he doesn't work for Rockstar anymore, so no really reason to be biased. So,
I mean, if you think about the amount of time that you pour into video games in the first place, and then you compare that to any other entertainment avenue, like if you're going to watch a movie, you might pay, 10 quid to get 2 hours of entertainment. I have over 10,000 hours playing a game that came out for free. So if that's not perspective, I don't know what is.
That's
but you
a
get
really
your
good
money's
point.
Worth, I think.
Yeah.
I think we've already spoken about this, but Owen, did you see that video? Oh my gosh, ages ago it went viral of, and I know it sounds bad, but of the guy that got arrested or something and he was crying as the police got him because he's going, I'm gonna miss the release of GTA 6.
I'm pretty sure the police officer said, don't worry, it'll get delayed or something, right? Like,
yeah, I know.
It'll be out soon, mate.
Back to back. It was great. Yeah.
But that just shows you how hardcore this community is. Yeah. The guy who's getting nicked is going, but I'm gonna miss the release.
Oh my word. Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, we've all been waiting so long for it. Was it 2012, 2011?
It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's been through console cycles and everything.
Yeah, it's been two iterations of the game itself.
When my daughter was born, I used to... My routine was I'd be up really late at night with watching the kid. And I would go on long drives in GTA. Just 2-3 a.m.
It's the radios for
GTA.
Yeah,
driving away. And I had the symbol set up as well.
We've got to get Cara Delevingne back on it. She is so funny on the radio. Just really, really blunt.
So like, I'm going back to Liberty City, like the more original.
Cara Delevingne on, I can't remember, in Los Santos FM, was so funny. Oh my word, like the blunt humour that she was putting into it was great. And also, I can't wait to see what songs they put in it as well.
Yeah.
Some of the big
good.
Artists are going to be jumping on this. Because I mean, I hope, like JME, like his career took off just because his music was in GTA. So I can't wait to see what we see out of that. But yeah.
Well, maybe we can get Cara to come and join us on one of these podcasts.
Who knows? Do you know how the only way people are going to know is if they hit the follow button?
That is true. Okay, look, before we wrap this up, thank you, by the way, Rob, for joining us. And the first... Can you do it for me?
The lobby!
Yes, the first, not the last. We're going to be doing this weekly for quite a while, and we've got so much to unravel. We'll be going to be keeping up to date with you guys, all of you, about season 2 of the BFBS Pro League. Again, for anybody going, okay, I love these guys. One, I need to find them on social media. Is that one of the easiest places to go to find out more about signing up and everything and reading your comments?
We post enough on there, yeah.
Yeah, where do we go?
We'll be posting more even sooner. At BFBS Esports, or at BFBS Esports UK, depends on social, but normally BFBS Esports. And also BFBSesports.com has all of our links to all of our social media, also to our Discord as well, which is discord.gg/BFBS Esports. And that's where
our sort of hub is and our community
and where you can sign us up and knowing how long before the cutoff point before
the next race.
Yeah,
24 hours before the next race kicks off is your sort of sign up deadline. So as long as you sign up on that website and you get yourself verified in the Discord through Jonah, then you are good to go. So you got to just give it a go, because like I said, so many people are coming in completely fresh, never touched esports before, and having a blast. And that is something that F125 can bring. You know, you don't need a wealth of experience. I mean, we're seeing people in Chalfont do pretty quick laps as well to rival myself and Jonah.
Oh, okay, no, I was sorry. I was getting a little bit sassy then. I was thinking I didn't do too badly, but...
Oh, your lap was a solid lap.
Yeah.
113.
Pay you later.
113, if I'm not
I think so.
Ball ring.
Yeah.
It was solid.
Sub 1 minute, wasn't it?
How many corners are we cutting here?
All of them.
Well, look, guys, thank you. I really enjoyed that. And we will catch up again next week.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
The lobby! Go!